Hello, how are you? I'm Claire Savary. I'm creator of Longdondale Tales, a sound artist and audio producer living here in the lovely Peak District. Thanks for stopping by. Today, I'm out walking on one of Glossop's most prominent hillsides, locally known as the Nab. And that's because this time round on Longdondale Tales podcast, we're moving our focus a little further south to Glossop. Well, all around me, the birds are singing so loudly today. Just as I take a resting point to enjoy the views, I've heard my first willow warbler of the year. There's a pheasant nearby, there's wren, there's blackbirds, jackdaws, chiff-chaffs, robins. Oh, such a wonderful place to just absorb all the sounds of the skies, I guess. And I can hear another plane coming in, as always happens. And what can I see? What can I tell you about what I can see? Well, from the tops here, straight ahead, I can see the mast over near Bankswood Park towards Hadfield. To the right, I can see the gnarly moors of Bleaklow, Shelf Moor, Featherbed Moss. Down below, I can spot the spires, actually. I can see St. James Church in Whitfield, maybe even the parish church, I think, in Old Glossop. And over to the left, there are, well, the industrial estates of Dinting. I can see Tesco Glossop. The viaduct with the occasional trains passing over that. There's no view of the Longdondale reservoirs over here, unfortunately, only the moors above them. Hollingworth Moor, Tintwistle Gnar, a bit of Swallowwood Nature Reserve. But of course, my favourite hill, Peak Naze, is in full view with the legendary hairpin nicknamed Devil's Elbow on Woodhead Road, hiding behind its summit. And all around of me, front and centre of this wonderful view, is the urban sprawl, Shirebrook Estate, Pygrove Park, bit of Sinanley, Charlestown, and maybe the place that you call home. This is a place I love to climb. Oh, hello, pheasant. I love to climb and just come to think, really. You see the town from above, and a place I like to think big picture, to bring a picnic lunch even. But it's also a place that I actually come to sit and listen. Sometimes I get to hear the skylarks, maybe even the grouse, and today a willow warbler. And listening is why I'm here. Over the last few months, I've been beavering away in my studio, now based in Sinanley, and I've been rediscovering the soundscapes that I've recorded over the last 6 years across the whole of the Glossopdale area. And more importantly, I've been listening to some of your soundscapes too. So as part of Derbyshire Makes Festival, I am delighted to present to you a brand new project, a sound map of where we live. It's a present day capturing of ordinary Glossopdale. It's a 3-part mini-series to add to our collection of Longdondale Tales podcasts. So in this episode, I'll be introducing you to some of the sounds that's submitted for the final exhibition, which will be an audio-visual installation. It takes place in the Partington Theatre, the 15th, 16th of April 2025. But of course, if you've missed it, or you're no longer living locally, then these episodes are available forever via Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or by watching on our YouTube feed. So tell a friend or two. So accompanying this episode will also be a full soundscape made of everyday sounds of Glossopdale. It's nearly half an hour long. It's right from the dawn chorus through to the owls singing at night. And then in a wild and wonderfully weird third episode, there's a part fantasy sound world where I and another audio producer, Simon, have manipulated these everyday sounds into an ambient musical fantasy land. But hey, you know me by now. I don't do things normally, do I? So with all that in mind, I thought I'd use this episode as a taster of what's on the sound map, more info about how I recorded them, and the story behind the sounds. Anyway, do you fancy a quick listen to some of my favourite moments? I bet you do. Let's begin first with Jason's tawny owls in his back garden in Hadfield. Now then, meet Karis's horse, Pilgrim, who's purring in Old Glossop. And here's Liz, Nancy and Charlie out cycling. They're chasing leaves and they're talking about the view, those fancy houses everyone can see up in Dinty.
View upside down. You know those upside down houses in Glossop? Well, they're not actually.
And this is what it sounds like when you stand right next to the clock in Old Glossop's parish church, when it tells you it's 7 o'clock. I've just walked a little further round the other side of the hill now, near to officially what's called Whitley Nab. It's how the Nab gets its name. And I always think when I'm walking along the high street in Glossop, how when I look up at this bit, it looks like an iguana to me. You know, like the trees at the top here look like the spiky bits on the back of an iguana's back. Or maybe that's just me. Anyway, it's so much quieter here. The birds have disappeared. They're not here. There's only very different birds in the sky, which are the planes, as we're on the flight path that are going above. And I suppose I should probably tell you why I started recording all of these sounds and why I've been encouraging others to do the same, really. I've been on a mission these last few years to really help people reclaim sound as a sense to better their health. You know, their connection to others and the world around them. And in a visually dominant world, I wonder whether people hear, but perhaps have forgotten to stop and listen. So here's a question for you. We often know the voices of our families, our pets, or our favourite songs, but how many of us would know the sounds of where we live? Anyway, this got me thinking. It made me wonder how Glossop sounded at the height of its growth in the early 1900s. You know, we can only imagine from the photos the sounds of trams taking workers to the mills, horses trotting along the cobbled streets, and the steam trains huffing and puffing across the Dinting Viaduct. So that made me think, what if I captured the sounds of Glossop and the surrounding towns of how they sound today? So that in 50 or 100 years' time, people as curious as me and you could perhaps listen to a soundscape of where we lived, as well as watch a video or look at photos. I was reading a brilliant book a few months ago, and in this book, The Great Animal Orchestra, it was written by musician and naturalist Bernie Krause, and he said something that stopped me in my tracks. He said, "A picture may be worth 1,000 words, but a natural soundscape is worth 1,000 pictures. And I sat and I read this as I was in Manor Park, and it certainly made me listen a little closer to the planes above, to the children running all around me, and the birds tweeting high up above. I've just moved. Oh, it feels like only 10 minutes away, and the willow warbler's back. There's a cockerel calling out nearby. That silence that was there before is gone. Surrounded. My bird app is going crazy all over again. So the moment that I read that passage in the book, that was really quite a big moment for me, where I started this quest to capture these ordinary moments of my daily life, sometimes with fancy microphones, sometimes just with my smartphone. I started to tune into how where we live sounds. I searched for the cut-throughs, the little alleyways, the public footpaths that nobody ever goes down, where these wild spaces are filled with birds and bees. I recorded in summer, in winter, in sunshine, in snow. I spent far too long capturing rain, especially the sound of hailstones hitting my attic window. I started enjoying the everyday transitional moments, like getting off the train at Glossop train station. Walking through the ticket gate. And out into the streets, leaning into hearing how the sounds changed from going inside to out. I remember I was shocked one day by the racket made by the jackdaws that roost on Philip Howard Road on my way to a yoga class. And I've always loved being alone on the moors, surrounded by nothing but curlews, grouse, and meadow pipits. Well, and the wind. See, the wind is not exactly a sound recordist's friend, but over time, I have learned to live with it. Because let's face it, if you're going to be climbing up the hill like the one I'm on, you're definitely going to have to make your peace with the wind. But I wonder, have you ever stood and listened to the wind? Probably not. I mean, you're probably a bit more normal than me. But I have, and I recorded it. So this is the sound of wind sweeping through a woodland not too far from here, near Moorfields, where the public footpath beside Tower Cottage takes you to Brake Love. Sometimes you hear the leaves dancing. I love how it ebbs and flows. It grows and dissipates, like the waves, like our breath. But hold that thought as I'm seamlessly going to take you from wind to the sound of water. Can you tell where the wind ends and the water begins? This is me turning in circles with a binaural microphone on a bridge in Manor Park. It sounds to me almost like the sea. Waves sweeping in and out all around. Mesmerising. I'm in a trance. Water has always been something that has fascinated me. And we know from the history of our area how important water was for the early industry, especially the water and steam mills. But these days, with the rivers and brooks in Glossop hidden by the high street or covered over by houses and industrial estates, I wonder how many people spot where the rivers come and go on their commute. In November 2024, after snow had melted, there was really heavy rain that meant our brooks were bursting at the seams in the town. It was like overnight the volume had been turned up to 11. It was hard not to notice the sound of water. So it comes as no surprise that I climbed down to the waterline and recorded it. This is Longclough Brooks Roar, just off Primrose Lane. Listen closer. It's like white noise. Constant. Fast. Furious. No sign of letting up. The debris, the broken branches are being carried past me at full speed. Fast forwards to just last week, April 2025, and it's been a good few weeks since we had proper rain. Now the banks of the brook are exposed, there's dry stones and cracked mud. I'm in exactly the same place, yet it's more of a trickle than a roar. You can almost hear each individual ripple passing by. Softer, calmer. It's more like a handful of melodies in a blanket of white noise. And I was braver this time. I waded in through my wellies. There was no chance of doing that in November. But whilst I was there, I picked out my hydrophone. It's a microphone used for recording underwater. So shall we have a listen to what's happening beneath the waterline? First, I place it on the stones with the water trickling above. And then I drop pebbles in. I love how they plonk. So quiet. And then I moved my microphone over to the moss. And I heard this. It's like a weird buzz and glitch. I spent ages moving my microphone back and forth where the moss was and then where it wasn't. There's definitely something living underneath here. Or maybe I better get back to doing episodes about UFOs and the Longdondale lights. Yeah, I'm just gonna sit down and sip some of my soup here and enjoy the views of Longclough and Tunal. Ah. One of the best things about working on the Longdondale Tales project is the opportunity to meet just enthusiastic and passionate local people. Like the friendships I formed recording those early episodes in 2023 that have just really made my heart smile. And when I set out to create this sound map, I knew that I wanted people to be at the focus of this project too. So I went to visit people in their workplace or volunteering. You know, I asked for their help and not one of them told me I was crazy and to get stuffed. There are four particular recordings I'd really love to highlight to you. The full soundscapes can be found with all of the others on our digital map, longdondaletales.co.uk. But I want to play you some snippets to enjoy. So first up, it's the sounds of the spring clean laundrette on Victoria Street. Rhythmic swishing, swirling water, ticking machines, and a squeaky door. Toby and Victor were non-stop with customers coming in and going the whole time that I was there. Victor, a fellow film and sound enthusiast, showed me which machines had the most interesting sounds. And with my fancy microphone, at some points, it actually sounds like you're inside the washing machine. Over in Gamesley, I had an absolute hoot. Andy and Lewis, who run the Chippy, are legends, absolute comedians. I sat down and left my microphone recording whilst I ate my lunch. And I'm telling you, not one customer would ever leave that place without a smile on their face. And some of the customers were just as cheeky and hilarious.
Do you remember? Every Good Friday.
He's nearly here.
And it is, will you be back this Good Friday?
I'll be back.
Okay. We'll have the beers, don't worry. we're having topless waiters this year.
Oh, God. Waiters.
Waiters.
Are they all booked and tattooed and everything?
Yeah, Lewis has been toning up all year.
Back in Glossop, Graham and Lisa were at work early. They were baking the bread at Shrewsbury Street Bakery. Graham gave me a tour of the machines that need the dough, the oven switches clicking, even customers popping in. Oh, and if the microphones could capture a smell, oh, the smell of warm bread. It's incredible to know that this bakery has been in the town since 1870. Wow. Graham told me he actually started out there as a Saturday boy working for the original owners, who then sold it to him when they retired. But with no children of his own, will this bakery still be here in another 155 years? Who will take over from Graham? Just a short walk away in Old Glossop, I visited the bell ringers in the parish church. Alan, Andrew and co gave me a tour of the bell tower and even let me sit in on their Thursday night practice. I was surprised to see the bells in the tower were actually blue. They were engraved with the names of original donors and church wardens from the town many moons ago. And hearing what it takes to be a bell ringer blew my mind. It's complicated stuff. Listen to them call as the peals change patterns.
One, two, trouble's going, trouble's going.
Go, Stephanie World.
They also told me that whilst the bell tower has received much needed restoration funding in recent years, one ringer said that she told me of maggots coming through the ropes and pigeons coming in when she was ringing as a child. And now they've discovered a leak which is causing flooding in the tower. And their spirits are slightly dampened by this, as it means more fundraising and more work will be needed to ensure these bells continue ringing in the town for many more centuries to come. I walked home that night, listening to the owls, feeling intrigued, sad, and surprised at where my curiosity for the sounds of the town had led me. I'm coming back to civilization now. I'm not far from Turnley Drive, back to the traffic, which I've also had to make peace with when recording. Whatever small plane is above me right now. I can see the shooting cabin in the far distance, beyond Wormstones and Moorfield. It's a beautiful, beautiful day, so clear. So I hope that this episode and the two that follow will give you something to think about when it comes to sound. I hope that you get the chance to make room for everyday awe and wonder at the sounds wherever you live. Whether you'll think differently or listen with a new perspective, maybe. I'd also encourage you to enjoy exploring our digital map and maybe go and capture the sounds that you think I've missed. Be that the barbers, a game of cricket, my screen van, the buses, the pigeons of Norfolk Square, even I forgot to do those. You can email me anytime at longdondaletales@gmail.com. I'd like to say a quick thank you to some of the people who helped me make this project possible. Helen Newman, Simon Galloway, Margaret, Mark, Caris, Claire, another Mark, Liz, Jane, Jason. Oh, all for their wonderful recordings. And also High Peak Community Arts and Derbyshire Makes for the funding, support and time to help me promote this crazy idea. Here's a ram. Do you want to say anything, mate? No, too busy eating. And so I finished this episode leaving the traffic of Turnley and the plains of the Nab behind with some lovely birdsong as sent to me by Caleb. It's recorded next to where he lives in King Edward Avenue, Glossop. It's captured early in the morning when he's usually out taking amazing wildlife photography. If you lean in and listen closely, there's wrens, blackbirds, robins, song thrush, even an owl. And I'll leave you with these questions to ponder. What does home sound like to you? Do you notice when the sounds around you change? When they begin or when they end? And which sounds would you miss if one day they weren't there? Enjoy. Thanks for popping by. Bye for now.